done for me. Jesus, I'll never forget how you set me free. Jesus, I'll never forget how you brought me out. Jesus, I'll never forget, no, never. Jesus, I'll never forget what you've done for me. Jesus, I'll never forget how you set me free. Jesus, I'll never forget how you brought me out. Jesus, I'll never forget. I'll never forget what you've done for me. Jesus, I'll never forget how you set me free. Jesus, I'll never forget how you brought me out. Jesus, I'll never forget, oh, never. How can I forget what you've done for me? How can I forget how you set me free? How can I forget how you brought me out? Jesus, I'll never forget, no, never. How can I forget what you've done for me? How can I forget how you set me free? How can I forget how you brought me out? Jesus, I'll never forget, no, never. Oh, never.
Jesus, I will never forget how you brought me out. Amen. Amen. We ought to all be praising God this morning. Amen. For it was him who brought us out and not we ourselves. Amen. Amen. So we ought to be thankful. Amen. Amen. You know, when we're thankful, we like to give people gifts. Amen. Amen. You know what gift God wants from you? He wants you to give him a praise. He said, praise him for the gifts that he has given unto you. So we ought to give God some praise this morning. Amen. 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 Man, I think sometimes we get it confused. We come to praise the singing and praise the preaching and praise whatever we see while we're here. But we ought to come with our minds set to praise God for what he's done for us. Amen. Amen. For it is his power that keeps us throughout the week. And it's his power that sustains us and pulls us through all the things that we have to endure throughout the day. Amen. There are many things that we encounter that we do not have power enough to handle by ourselves. But it's because of the God that's inside of us that we're able to make it through. Amen. So we ought to give God some praise for that. Amen. 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 Let us bow our heads. Our Father God, we come to you this morning and say thank you, Master, for your presence being here. We thank you, Master, for you, because it is you who make everything better. We thank you, Master, for you being just that kind of a God that we can call on you and not miss, because every time we call, you will answer. We come this morning and say thank you for being in our presence. Thank you for being our God. And while we're here, we pray that you share with us something that you expect for us to receive, digest, and take into the world that's in need of you. We ask now these blessings in your Son, Jesus Christ's holy name. We do now pray. Let every heart say amen. Amen. We now have our opening hymn. I probably better read if I put my glasses down. 494. Amen.
Save the world, save the world.
Amen. Amen. Do, Lord, remember me. Amen. Anybody here want God to remember them when he gets to his place of power? When he's sitting on his throne and has called all of us home? Do you want God to remember you? Amen. Amen. I certainly want him to remember me. Amen. Don't forget about me, Master. Let me in. Amen. Amen. Prayerfully, I've done enough while I'm on this side of glory that when he sees me, he'll tell me, come on in. Amen. 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 Let us bow our heads. Oh, Father God, we come to you this morning. And Master, I come to pray specifically for this thing. I pray, Master, that we continue to seek you. Continue to chase after you, continue to follow after you, because if we continue to seek you, that show you just how much we love you. And Master, in Matthew 6 and 33, you say, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, for all these things, which you are talking about, the things that we're concerned about in life. Master, our finances, our homes, Master, our families, our friends, our jobs, Master. You said that if we seek ye first in all of these things, that whatever we ask shall be given. So, Master, we come today praying that we have a seeking spirit and that we continue to follow you despite all of our trials, our tribulations, Master. Despite all of our failures, Master, all the places where we're lacking in our life, we pray that somehow we can find enough spirit, enough strength, shall I say, Master, to push through, that we may continue to seek you. Because despite all the storms, you're better than anything in this world. We ask now, Master, that you be with us as we continue to seek after you. It's in your Son, Jesus Christ's holy name, we do now pray that every heart say amen. Amen. We ask now that the officers will come for the purpose of our tithing and offering.
Oh,
Father God, we come now to say thank you, Master, for these gifts that have been given here today. And Master, as we always pray, because we do not want to make a mistake, and we always want to be in line with you. So we ask, Master, that you touch us as we distribute this money. And we do it in a fashion in which it's pleasing in your sight, so that you will always be pleased with us. We ask now these blessings in your Son, Jesus Christ's holy name, we do now pray. Let every heart say amen. Somebody ought to be giving God some praise in this house. Somebody ought to be giving God some praise in this house. Can you not hear the chains falling in your life? The chains of depression, the chains of mental illness, the chains of stress, the chains of lack, the chains of no love. Oh, somebody ought to. Somebody ought to be happy today. I'm trying to hold myself. I ain't ready. Because when I look back over my life and I think about the things that my God brought me out of, the chains that he broke in my life. Anybody here ever been delivered from something that you can deliver yourself from? Huh? Anybody here ever been desperate and nobody can help you, but God stepped in and he, and Lord have mercy, Jesus. Have mercy. Have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. I'm still trying to recover. I'm still trying to recover. I'm still trying to recover. You see, because I don't play with them. And I don't sit quiet on them either. But the Bible says, let the redeemer of the Lord say so. And then the Bible said, if you want God to get in your situation, offer up God a little bit of praise. The Bible says in Psalms that God inhabits the praise of his people. Praise is an action word. Praise don't mean you sit down and be quiet. Praise means you say something.
Oh, y'all are here.
Hallelujah. Then the Bible says that you ought to enter into his courts with thanksgiving. And hallelujah. I'm trying to get y'all to see something. Lord have mercy. Some of us have missed our deliverance because we sit quiet and don't say nothing while we're in church. And God said, I got a deliverance for you, but you still sitting there being quiet because you're scared of what somebody going to say. You're going to scared of how folks going to look at you because you won't look dignified. Guess what David told his wife? His wife said, you look like a fool. David knew that only it was God who could deliver the way that God delivered. Somebody ought to be giving God some praise in this house. Hallelujah. Let us bow our heads. Because I'm still trying to get myself ready. Glory be to God. Master, we come to you to say thank you. We thank you now for your very presence in this place, and we pray now that you speak to your people because they are your people and not mine. Speak to them what you have them to hear and allow their hearts to receive what you have for them to receive. We ask now these blessings in your son Jesus Christ's holy name we pray. Amen. I've got a mind to live for Jesus. All of my days. I said I've got a mind to live for Jesus. All of my days. Oh yeah. You see in order to win this fight, I've got to give God all that is right. See, I've got a mind to live for Jesus all of my days. My mountains get high, I live for Jesus. My valleys get low, I live for Jesus. My way gets dark, I live for Jesus all of my days. Oh yeah. The Lord God's been so good to me. Oh, I like the way he set me free. See, I've got a mind to live
and help me live for Jesus. Come on and join me and help me live for Jesus. Come on and join me. Help me live for Jesus all of my days. Oh yeah. See, you can't stop me. You may as well join me. You can't stop me. You may as well join me. See, I've got a mind to live for Jesus all of my days. Somebody here, they want to live for Jesus. Somebody here, yeah, they want to live for Jesus. Somebody here want to live for Jesus all of their days. Oh yeah. The Logos been so good to me. Oh, I like the way he set me free. See, I've got a mind to live for Jesus all of my days. Come on, John, and help me live for Jesus. Come on and join me and help me live for Jesus. Come on and join me. Help me live for Jesus all of my days. Oh yeah. The Lord has been so good to me. Oh, I like the way he set me free. See, I've got a mind to live for Jesus all of my days.
Somebody give God a hand clap of praise. Amen. Amen. Now I can go on and preach. Amen. Because I'm going to tell you, that song that they sung messed me up. And I wasn't going to be able to preach until I got my praise out. Amen. See, I'm of the belief that I'm not where I am because I'm so intelligent. And I'm not where I am because I know the right people. I'm not where I am because of my education or because of money and things that I've been able to acquire over the years. But I am simply where I am because God deemed it to be so. Amen. And I don't know about you, but for me, that's enough for me to shout off of. That's because when I tell you I'm from Ridgecrest, I am from the lowest of the low. Huh? I come from nothing. Because Ridgecrest was a step up because we moved out of Trenton Court to Ridgecrest. Amen. I remember when I had to share clothes with my brother, sleep in the same bed, because my mom had 9 kids that she was raising by herself. Without an education. But somehow, she was able to make a way. Somehow, we never went without. Somehow, we always had what we needed. And it wasn't because of who she was.
Amen.
It was because of who her God is.
Oh. Amen.
I didn't already preach. We can go ahead and do the benediction and go home. Amen. But if you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to Luke chapter 23, verse 43. Luke chapter 23, verse 43. We're continuing with our series of preaching about Jesus' last statements on a cross. And if I was to give this particular portion of it a title, I would title it, He Removed the Curse. he removed the curse. Luke 23 and 43 says this, "And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today," hear me now, "today shalt thou be with me in paradise." Amen. Once again, my proposition is, if you don't get anything out of this, once again, it's the same as it was before. He did it for you personally. Once again, he did it for you personally. Here in this text, we find a conversation between Jesus and some thieves. All the gospel writers tell us that Jesus had thieves that flanked him to the left and flanked him to the right. They were crucified along with him. But Luke alone tells us what was actually spoken between Jesus and these thieves. And when we look at what was discussed, we will find there are two completely different responses to Jesus being crucified from these two thieves who had a firsthand eyewitness of the entire event. Both men saw the same thing. They saw a man who claimed to be the Messiah, the revolutionary king, who was abused and crucified. They saw him being beaten. They saw him being spat on. They heard him being talked about, mocked, and cursed. They also heard him cry out in a loud voice in a prayer, asking God to forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. These two men who heard the exact same thing had two completely different responses to what they saw. As we go into this, I pray that you find yourself in this. And I pray you find yourself on the right side of this. Because just because you're in the church don't mean you're on the right side. I come to tell you, there's a whole lot of us are going to hit hell wide open through the church, which makes no sense. You've been here all this time, giving all your efforts, but yet and still, you won't make it to heaven. I pray that while we are in this series of preaching, that you find yourself on the right side of Jesus. But these two thieves have two totally different responses. One of them became angry with Jesus. I said that, so you know, sometimes we become angry with Jesus. When he don't do what we want him to do. And when he don't do it when we want him to do it. And when he doesn't do it how we want him to do it. Well, I'm going to tell you, be careful of you being angry with him. Now, the Bible says it's okay to be angry. But then on the flip side of it, it says, and sin not. So how long will you be angry with God? Will you be angry with him until you die? I tell you, if you do, I feel sorry for you. I'm going to tell you how they tell us in the hood, get over it. There's no sympathy there. There's no pity. There's no pity party to be played with God. God said, it's okay for you to be angry with me, but when you are angry with me, realize who I am and sin not. Get over it. I had to learn that because I had some things that happened in my life that made me angry with God. I had to pray to God to forgive me for my anger with him. Because I realized he makes no mistakes. Amen.
And everything that happens in my life is preordained. Before I'm even formed in my mother's womb, thought about by my parents, God had already lined out my entire life. So everything that happens to us is preordained. And if we believe in our God, we believe he makes no mistakes. So if he makes no mistakes, then why get angry? Why get angry? There is no need for us to be angry with God. Learn to make it through what you are in. Because whatever it is that you are in, God allowed you to go in it. And surely if he allowed you to go in it, he will pull you out of it. But this thief was angry with God. He was angry unto death, which is not a good thing. Which means he never got over his anger. He never got past himself. In other words, he was selfish in his thinking. How you know that, Reverend? When you look at the text, he says to Jesus, as he mocked Jesus along with the crowd out of his anger, he says, Jesus, if you be the Savior. Listen to what he say. He don't say save the other one. He says save yourself and then save me. Two completely different responses. One that was selfish and made out of anger. Church, we can't be selfish. We got to start thinking beyond our own selves and think about others. The Bible teaches us that love is not what? Selfish. So how can you tell someone you love them but you're being selfish in that love? That's not love. God says love thinks about the other. Amen?
Amen.
And when you love, you don't think so highly of yourself. Well, you look down at someone else. But you will see them higher than you. Amen? And try to continue to lift them. Two totally different responses. One was angry, but the other one sheds light on how we should be. He was repentive of his sin. The other one, who just like the first one, saw Jesus go through all of this. He sat and saw his Savior on the cross. At first, he didn't realize that Jesus was his Savior. But when he saw Jesus go through all of this, all the hatred, all the abuse, and he saw Jesus give a prayer to God to save those who was abusing him, his mind changed. His heart was changed to a place where he was repentant, so much so that he rebuked the other thief. He said, do you not fear God? We are all here with the same sentence. We are here to die. And you and I are guilty of our sins and worthy of death. But this man is sinless and not worthy of any of the things that people has placed on his name. Church, we are worthy of death. We can be no better than filthy rags. I mean, no matter how great you think you are, you're nothing but a filthy rag. No matter how dignified or prudent you are, you're nothing but a filthy rag. No matter how successful you are, you are still a sinner that need to be saved by God's grace. We must be like this thief. We must have the thought process that we need him to help us. And not just in our bad moments, but even in our good moments, we ought to be asking God for help, for direction. Because nothing we can do is considered to be good without him. I might have said this in this church once before, and I'll say it again. That's why I have a problem when people said we can separate church and state. You cannot separate church and state. Because you're the church. You're going to split yourself? This building is not the church. This is a place where we come to worship.
Amen.
You are the church. You can't divide yourself and still yet exist. There's no such thing as separation of church and state. And if you try to take God out of anything, and you're in trouble. That's why our country is in trouble. Because we're trying to remove God. But this man realized that he needed Jesus. He needed God in his life, because he was about to enter into a phase of his life that he didn't have any idea as to what lay before him. But the one who was next to him, he realized he knew. And Jesus' response to him was powerful. It was profound. And in his response, we see several things about God. We see that God has absolute power and authority. That God has complete control over life and over death. One of the things that I love, that God's forgiveness is immediate. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You know, he don't do us like some of us do each other. In order for you to forgive somebody, they got to come sit before you, beg your pardon, cook you dinner, shine your shoes. But God said, my forgiveness is immediate. As soon as you utter the words, forgive me, Father, you are forgiven, not of one sin, but of all your sins. We learned that there is no sin that he won't forgive. We learned that there is hope for us all. And we learned that he will remove, or he shall, I'm going to say he did remove the curse of Adam. Take a walk with me. Let's take a look at the text. When we exegete this text, we see something very important here. Because Jesus opened the text by saying, verily. When Jesus say verily, that means you better pay attention.
Amen.
Like the commercial we have, no.
When E.F. Hutton, whatever his name is.
When he speaks, everybody listens. Whenever you see in the Bible and Jesus says, verily, you better listen. Because he is saying that I'm about to make a profound and a powerful declaration. I'm about to say something to show you just who I am. And Jesus said unto this boy, he says, verily I say unto thee. In other words, your master is next to you. And what I'm about to say to you can't be changed. Because when I speak, whatever I speak shall come true. Because I'm not a man who can lie. Oh, y'all don't hear me. I am a God who is the God who sits higher than any other God. So everything I say must come true. He says, I'm about to say something to you. And if you don't believe that God's declaration is powerful, go and look at Psalms 12 and 6 and Ezekiel 12 and 25, part 8. Where he gives an understanding that God's words are pure, which means they're without fault. They are without weakness. They are without sin. You know, some of us, we'll tell people anything. And we'll say it because it sounds good. But when God speaks, he don't say it to make it sound good. He say it because he has the authority and the power to change your life. Somebody ought to give God some praise. Jesus said, I'm about to make a declaration. And he says, unto thee. Jesus speak in a place of power. He says to him, in other words, I am the one who David and the prophets of old prophesied about. I am the one that John the Baptist said would come and baptize you with living water. I am the one who delivered Israel from slavery. I am the rock that followed them in the wilderness. And then he says, I am Alpha and Omega, the creator of all things. And then he says to them, today, I am the perfect lamb. Oh, somebody ought to be giving God some praise. I am sacrificial, laying down my life to redeem man from his sin. Not from my sin, but to redeem man from his sins. And then he said unto him, today thou will be with me in paradise.
Amen.
Somebody ought to be giving God some praise. Because I will be so glad the day that I can enter into paradise. Here the Greek word used for paradise is a transliteration of the Persian word that is used to indicate that the king has a beautiful garden. Did you hear what I said? The king's garden was a walled garden that was beautiful to see. And in his garden, he had animals and beautiful flowers and trees and water features. Anybody ever been somewhere like that? When you go to places like that, you are so relaxed. My wife loves to go to the ocean because the sounds of the water calms her. I like to go to the mountains. Because I like to hear the wind blow in the tree. And I can see the power of God. Well, the Bible teaches us that Jesus referred to heaven as the garden. And in the garden, we have all of these things that we consider to be beautiful and grand. And Jesus tells him that he is invited to this garden. And normally in Persia, when you're invited to the garden, that means someone is being honored, and being in this garden is a privilege. For those of us who are Bible scholars, you know where I'm headed with this. There's one garden that they say was so beautiful, that was so peaceful, that the animals lay down with each other. They didn't hunt nor kill each other. It was peace. There was no sin. Every day was joyful. Every day was sunny. There was no cloudy day. There was no rainy day. Well, I came to tell you that Jesus, while he was on the cross talking to this boy, he broke the curse so we can all go back to the garden. Somebody ought to give God some praise in here. Because the garden has everything that you need. If you need love, the garden got it. If you need someone to be with you, the garden got it. If you need joy, the garden got it. If you need sun in your life, the garden got it. Whatever you need, the garden has it. Somebody ought to give God some praise in here. Because Jesus broke the curse so we can return back to Eden. Somebody give God some praise. Thank God.
Amen.
For Jesus making this statement. And thank God for Luke being willing to record it. The doors of my Father's house are now open. If there'll be anyone.
not know God and free pardon of your sins, the time is now. The Bible says, come while he is near. For surely shall come a time where he cannot be found.
All to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him in his present daily live. I surrender
save you, God, a hand clap of praise. Amen. Let us bow our heads. Oh, Father God, we come to you today, Master, say thank you for allowing your son to do something that none of us could do. And for he took upon himself our punishment. He took upon himself our sin. And then he freed us from our punishments. And he freed us from our sins. And because of this, we say thank you. Because of this, we love you. Because of this, we follow you. We seek you. We yearn to be with you. And we pray, Master, that one day, when this life is over, that we can sit with you in this garden of beauty where we can relax, lay down our burdens, and enjoy you. Thank you, Master, for setting up such a beautiful stage for our lives, for us to strive to get to. And Master, we pray now to ask you prepare to leave this place, that you watch over us, that you protect us and keep us until we can return again to this place where you have chosen to place your name. It's in your Son Jesus Christ's holy name we do now pray. And let every heart say amen.